How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. 7-Eleven here on this Sens game day Thursday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Busy show coming up. If you weren't here for the first hour, what an extravaganza you missed. To someone who texted in this morning and wondered if I'd beaten a hole into my shirt, patting myself on the back. No, I did not.
Falcon up.
It's not easy being right about a lot of things. That's
pretty
all.
Close. Yeah.
Well, I think in this industry and job, it's really important to
self-glossing.
Pump one's tires. You got your home pump going. Nothing wrong with that, JR.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Simmer. All right, a busy show on the way. We'll talk to Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us coming up after 8 o'clock. At about 8:50 or so, Jamie Baker, our newest pre- and post-game analyst here on TSN 1200, will join us. Jamie, of course, from Ottawa, spent a lot of time in San Jose as both a player and then a broadcaster with the Sharks, is back in Ottawa, and he's going to be part of our pre- and post-game show. Shows starting tonight, making his debut with his old team in town. Jamie will join us coming up at about 8:50 or so this morning. And then after 9 o'clock, we're looking forward to a conversation with Bev Priestman. She is the head coach of Canada's national gold medal winning women's soccer team. They, of course, are in town right now and getting ready for I guess it's a friendly of sorts. They're calling it the Celebration Tour, but taking on New Zealand in a match Saturday afternoon at TD Place at 3 o'clock. Of course, still coming off the high, I'm sure, of winning that gold medal at the Olympics. We'll talk to head coach Bev Priestman coming up later on in the show as well.
Yeah, and she had worked as an assistant under Herdman and then had gone back to Europe for a year, Jared,
back
right?
To England, I believe, yeah.
And then we had her on, and terrific accent. Real strong soccer game for that. Very key if you're going to be managing. And, I think with Herdman leaving, you kind of wonder where the program was going to go. And right in the vintage or end for Sinclair to deliver a gold medal. Outstanding.
Yeah, well, Canadian soccer in this country, both women's and men's, has never been in a better place, in my opinion. I mean, you know, the women are on top of the world right now, and the men are probably in a better place than they ever have been before. We'll see if they can actually nurse it over the finish line and qualify for the World Cup. Next round of qualifiers is coming up next month in Edmonton. I see tickets went on sale yesterday for some snowy games in Edmonton versus Mexico and Costa Rica. So Bev Priestman on the show coming up later on this morning as well. We got some winning for you later on this hour, our TSN $1,200,000 minute. At some point this morning, Sens tickets versus the Rangers. That's a Saturday. That's the 1 o'clock game. Sammy, you're doing the game, right?
Absolutely.
It's 1 o'clock Saturday?
It is, yeah.
Okay, 1 o'clock, which means
love it. Love
11
it.
A.m. pregame show.
Yeah.
Right up Simmer's alley.
Yeah.
So Sens Rangers.
That's a pregame brunch right there.
Tickets. We'll give away those coming up later.
Sausage, eggs. One of the keys, if you're pro scouting, JR, and you're doing that, you do a doubleheader. If you're in the New York area, usually a lot of glossy eyes on the scouts. Had a couple of pops the night before, but you get in for a hearty breakfast. You end up collecting double per diem because you do the 1 o'clock game, and then you also slide nicely up to New York. It's usually Philadelphia play at one, slide nicely into New York for 7 p.m. And
How much you got left scouting a second game, though? Really, are you really concentrating?
No. You're there chatting. You're looking around. Chances are, whatever point in the season, you've seen everybody in that division probably 100 times. So, yeah, it's really just a big schmooze fest.
Yeah, you're just faking your reports at that point, right?
Yeah, you're putting in, you know, little bits. Or
recycling the reports.
Maybe you're putting in rumors. Yeah. You're going to rumors.
Didn't really see a whole much different from Giroux than we see on most nights. You know, you can really kind of couch your analysis on that, right?
Yeah.
All right, so Sens Rangers tickets coming up. But tonight, the focus is, of course, on tonight's game. The 2-0 San Jose Sharks off to a, I think, surprisingly good start. Expectations very low in San Jose. They certainly took care of business versus Montreal on Tuesday, winning 5-0. So far, so good for San Jose. Of course, Erik Karlsson leading the way and always of interest when the former Sens captain plays here. And tonight, of course, what we think will be the future Sens captain will take to the ice for the first time this season. In fact, this is the first time that Brady Tkachuk will play in front of fans in Ottawa. We look this up. March 5th, 2020, the Ottawa Senators were taking on the New York Islanders. This is pre-pandemic, and this is Brady Tkachuk actually scoring in that game.
Back comes Ottawa. 2-on-1. Connor Brown trying to jump in to make it 3-on-1. Tkachuk, his shot, scores! A laser beam!
There is Dean Brown, voice of the Sens, with a goal call from the last time Brady Tkachuk played in front of fans here in Ottawa. And I'm sure it is going to be a love-in tonight for Brady. who said yesterday he's very excited to be playing back in front of fans here in Ottawa.
Absolutely hard to comprehend, JR, because the memory of that was you were putting together that nifty trip for the couple that was going with the Sens on the Western road trip, was it not? Would that have been the last game?
Yep.
And then they would have headed, and the whole idea, did they stop somewhere, go west, and then stop somewhere on the way back, or just go west?
No, they flew on the charter.
Okay, so they went
right
west
to San Jose.
But they ended up flying home alone because Ottawa was supposed to go from L.A. to Chicago or Minnesota to finish off the trip, remember?
To Chicago.
Chicago,
yeah,
okay.
But they were coming home regardless. They were not going to be, because the trip, it was one of those weird trips where they ended up coming halfway home.
That feels like it was 10 years ago.
It does.
And, based on kind of COVID and everything else. So, last time we see that. And, for Brady Tkachuk, hope a nice crowd tonight. And interest in any time Erik Karlsson comes back as well.
Yeah. Here's Brady again on being excited about tonight.
It's been however many days since playing in front of fans, right? So, first off, very excited to play with, in front of people again. And but I think I'm most excited to just play with my teammates again. And, this is such a great group. And a lot of my best buddies here. And I just love playing with them and love kind of going to battle with them.
Okay. You don't have to get Brady Tkachuk excited to play a hockey game at the best of times, but you know that he is going to be super keyed up to play in this game tonight. It's his first game of the season. Here's the man who is responsible for putting the reins on the wild horse, DJ Smith.
Not much advice. Keep your shifts short. Just get a feel for what's going on out there. You have no exhibition games. It's timing's going to be, we'll see how that goes. And then I got to be careful not to play him too much. Like I said, I always tend to lean to him when I need just about anything. So, I got to make sure that I'm not playing him too much. At the end of the day, this is a marathon, not a race. And it's about the Ottawa Senators being a really good team for a long time. And that involves the Formantins, the Stutzels, all these guys. Everyone has to feel a part of this thing.
Always good in theory to say, I'm going to leave arguably the heartbeat player of my team. I'm going to make sure I rest him enough. I don't want to overuse him on the first night. And then you look down and you're looking up at the score clock and you're down by a goal and it's the beginning of the third period and it's like, 7, get out there. Every other shift, get out there. Score a goal. Do whatever you need to do.
Short and hard.
Yeah.
Want him hard.
Yeah.
If for that, Brady Tkachuk would be real interesting, JR, because would you agree, last time we saw Brady Tkachuk, not the most fluid skater in the National Hockey League?
No.
No, and, falls down a fair amount. Now, I do think as he comes into and he starts to look like he's shaping into a man, that's going to get better. But this isn't Timmy Stutzla stepping on the ice or Tyler Ennis in a sense of, I think there'll be some work here. Now, how do you feel in the first game? What kind of adrenaline do you have? What does that feel like? And the space in the schedule, what is really nice, JR, is not having to, because there's no doubt, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much you rode the bike, what you did, the fact you don't have to get back-to-back. I mean, it's a quick turnaround, but to play tonight, to play Saturday at 1 o'clock, and to play Monday night, and then all of a sudden off till Friday, that's real good spacing for Brady Tkachuk. So, hey, let's see what the legs look like, and let's see what the club looks like tonight. What is nice for me is that I think we finally, and even if Colin White or Austin Watson, realistically, JR, for the way this stacks up and the way Tierney looks, we're talking about 2 fourth-line players. So to me, this is the first time that the top 9 will be together, and that's what I'm excited about, along with Matt Murray and old Chucky in the lineup.
Yeah. So as Brady Tkachuk embarks on what will be now his 4th season, and knowing that he is armed now with a 7-year contract, which will mean he will remain here in Ottawa for a very long time, likely through, at least statistically, what should be the best years of his career. Yeah. What are your expectations? Well, we can only do it by statistics.
Yeah.
Expectations for Brady Tkachuk for the coming season. So let's measure it in, we won't measure hits. We know he'll be among the league leaders in that and probably shots on goal because he traditionally is. But but goals and points, which are the measurables a lot of fans look at. Goals and points for Brady Tkachuk. Let's go over under 25 goals for this. Let's make sure there's a winner. Let's go 24.5.
Yeah.
Over under Brady Tkachuk goals 24.5 for this season.
That's a tough one, JR. You know what? I'm going to stay. I'm in a good vibe this morning. I'm going to just take just over that. But it's pretty darn close. But I'll say just over. He'll get to 25 goals.
All right, Hammer.
I'm taking under on this. I'm just worried. It's always harmful to miss camp, and players are always slow. And then my greatest fear, of course, is injury. And then something with a groin, something like that, that you haven't been working out, hasn't been used. Now you're going to get right into NHL action here and battle. And Brady Tkachuk can't do anything 50%. He's going to go all out. But I'm going to take the under here.
Brady Tkachuk missed 11 games in his rookie season, played the entire schedule in the pandemic-shortened season of 2 years ago, and then played every game last year. So injuries have not been really a part of his DNA for the most part in his time. All right, so over-under of 24.5. He's prorated about 25 goals all three seasons that he's played in the National Hockey League, which is really interesting to me. I think as the team gets better, I think statistically he gets better, so I'm going to take the over this year. I'm like Simmer, I think he's just over that number, but I'll say he's going to score 26 goals.
Yeah, and 26. Here's to your point, Hammer. A little Price is Right action. I feel like he's actually going to get more goals and assists, which will answer JR's next question, because I do agree with you. But the nice part for him, power play should be better. And I think in his office that he is going to have a pretty good year, have the opportunity to score a lot of goals. But I don't know, and I would worry more about transition, hands, and playmaking after missing all the training camp.
No, for me, it just comes down to the worry, and we've seen the history of players and what happens when they hold out. And there's always usually something that comes up, and you're always starting from behind, and there's a lot of catch up. And I don't think Brady Tkachuk is any different than any other athlete. It's hard to catch up when you're 2-3 weeks behind.
Okay. Points-wise, Simmer's already said that he expects him to be over 25 goals, but to have more goals and assists.
Yeah.
So if my over-under on Tkachuk points is 49.5, and again, prorated, he's in and around 50 to 53 in his first three seasons. Yeah. So, Simmer, you're an under of 49.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take under.
Okay, all right. So that what you're saying, I believe, I'd be interpreting your numbers here, you believe that Brady Tkachuk is going to have statistically a slow start to the season.
And I also just feel
And he's going to be a power play beast.
Yeah. As far as playmaking, JR, that would be my concern. And to Hammer's side, not even injury, but just, yeah, overall. I mean, it's, you know, you hit a bit of a wall at whatever point the schedule gets going. What will also be a major factor for Brady Tkachuk, guys, will he fit onto the U.S. Olympic team? Does that get crammed into his schedule? And if he turns around and rolls back from the Olympics after missing a training camp, does that catch up with him for the Ottawa Senators stretch drive?
All right. Okay. Hammer, 49.5, Brady Tkachuk, over, under.
Yeah, I'm sitting under here as well. I think he's still going to have an impact with this team, obviously, but
some doubting Thomas.
Slow start. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. Camp to me is important. It is really,
okay,
really important.
Okay, Dave Poulin.
He's only a $4 million player, Hammer. All he needs is 40 points. That's all he's
exactly.
Needing. That's what he's being paid for this year.
$1 million every 10
points. And that would
points.
Be under the 49.5. So, okay. Yeah, there you go.
I'm taking the over. Okay. I'm taking 26 goals, and I think he's getting 26 assists, and I think he's getting 52 points. Okay. There you go. Mark
okay.
it down.
Okay.
All right, I just thought of a new one as well, just for fun. Okay? Brady Tkachuk over under penalty minutes for this season. I'll set that at 99.5, and I'll give you the numbers. First season, 71 games, 75 penalty minutes, which would put him in around 90 penalty minutes in year one, prorated. Year two, well over. He had 106 penalty minutes in 71 games, so prorated would be about 125. Last year, I just did it, 69 penalty minutes in 56 games, which over 82 games would be 101 penalty minutes.
Oh.
So he's 101 last year, about 125 in year two, but about 90 in year. So I'll set it at 99.5 penalty minutes for Brady Tkachuk. Simmer, over, under.
Yeah, he's going north of that for sure. Realistically, going to start lots of scraps. I think more people are going to come after him. And Austin Watson not being in the lineup, yeah, absolutely over.
See, I think he's going to be over as well, but it's going to be over because he's overcompensating for what he might be not able to achieve points-wise. And that he has to have some impact and try to pull this team in some direction.
Wow.
And that's something that he does control. So I kind of like, you know, maybe a few extra scraps here or there. Also, maybe behind the player to Simmer's point, maybe a little hook and hold and something like that.
Okay. I'm definitely under on this. I think the coach's message is we need you on the ice, not in the penalty box. I understand there are going to be times that you're going to be in the middle of stuff. Just don't let it escalate to the point where you're in the penalty box too much. I think Austin Watson is on the team to take care of the fights that they don't want Brady Tkachuk to have. So I think, and Brady Tkachuk, you know, into year four now, is going to get a measure of respect around the league as a more veteran player now. He's no longer a rookie. I mean, he runs his mouth a lot, and he's going to be in a lot of pushing and shoving and junk going on at the benches, etc. But I think cooler heads will prevail more so this year. So I'll take the under of 99.5 on Tkachuk penalty minutes.
Hammer, basically, I think they got an $8 million goon.
Yeah, exactly.
No faith in the guy.
He's taking 10 goals, 10 assists.
You're like super fan, and you're thinking this guy's a complete bum right now.
I am not calling him a complete bum.
You're making him sound like Ty Domi.
To think he's going to score 23 goals does not make him a complete bum. I am the one stat I am most worried about. It's not the goals. It's the points. That is a really good number that you set it at. So I am worried if he actually is under really how this team is going to do this season, because obviously he's a man that's got to pull most of the weight. But that is the one that I'm most worried about, that he actually will be under. What did you set it at? 49.5?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm most worried about.
What will also be interesting, JR, to track will be hits, because here's also a thing. In his mind, kind of these shots and hits, were they important in that he was trying to build up stats to get a contract? Probably not. But if I was to sit down with him, hey, the odd scrap once in a while. When Tom Wilson is here, please avoid him at all times. but as far as a lot of the shots he'd take, not high percentage. A lot of the hits he'll make, Hammer and JR, when you're not a player that's missed training camp, you're going to go to your way to finish every darn check. Going to take a toll on you. And I would say, and I love his energy, love what he does, but my old term activity and achievement, I don't need to rub every single player out on the forecheck on down low, but I think there's some areas there that he can adjust some of his energy and use it a little bit better as well.
A lot of interest, a lot of excitement. Brady Tkachuk makes his season debut tonight as the Sens will play the Sharks. Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. One day Brady Tkachuk may be on this list. But he's not today. Our question is this. Who is the greatest player in Ottawa Senators history? So we're talking about not someone who has just played at least some portion of his career here, but the majority of his best years were played here in Ottawa, if not all of them. Yeah. All right, so here are your four options. Erik Karlsson, who, of course, we will see tonight, skating for the San Jose Sharks. Daniel Alfredsson, certainly the fan favorite. Jason Spezza, statistically, right there, or Marian Hossa, who, of course, went on to win 3 Stanley Cups with the Chicago Blackhawks and was, in his time here in Ottawa, I don't even know if it was arguably, but the best two-way player in the game. Who was the greatest player in Sens history? Karlsson, Alfredsson, Spezza, Hossa.
I want to hear you guys first. What do you got?
For me, it's all about Daniel Alfredsson, for me. Not just because of longevity, but just he's on there. I get to pick him. Those are the rules.
I'm going to pick the most popular guy.
Daniel. Well, why not?
Alfie, can I get your autograph for my son?
Argue against it. Argue against it.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not going to. Listen, there's 4 great choices. Yeah. Absolutely. But if I'm talking not popularity, I'm just talking about, you know, the greatest hockey player. And I will, you know, we all have to interpret this question our own way. I'm talking about when whatever player we're talking about here was at the peak of their game, you know, who was the best one? And I will say Erik Karlsson. That Erik Karlsson at his peak was better than any of the other 3, in my opinion. I will choose Erik Karlsson.
I thought you were going a different direction.
Well, I would have gone with my favorite, my man Marian, okay?
Yeah. With the JR.
Thank you, Marian.
Yeah.
That's my main man. Marian Hossa is still my favorite player to play here in Ottawa. But just in terms of sheer hockey excellence, Erik Karlsson at his peak, in my opinion, is untouched.
Yeah, I'll say it's not even close here in a sense of at the time Erik Karlsson, 2017 was the best player in hockey. You win multiple Norris trophies, not just one. Daniel Alfredsson respectfully won a Calder. Did he win a Selke or win any other trophies at all?
No major trophies.
And again, respectful, if Erik Karlsson, first of all, ever played on those Ottawa teams that Alfie played on, Alfie played with Spezza and Heatley. I'm not taking away from him, but my God, like the help that he had. And no disrespect to Philip Kuba or Mark Mathot, but if you look at the supporting cast and what Erik Karlsson accomplished realistically for the team he had, and again, we are talking about a trophy that I put there, and I don't think even, I won't put anything goaltender-wise, but along with MVP of the National Hockey League, to me, Norris trophies are a big, big deal. Win one, which Mr. Fox, or you've seen some people here and there win, Randy Carlyle back in the day, JR., you win multiple Norris trophies, you're an elite company. Like, we're talking elite defensemen of all time. So, yeah, Erik Karlsson, hands down. Now, I don't mean hands down. They're all great players.
Yep.
Jason Spezza, very underrated for kind of, if you look at his career, who doesn't love Hossa, who doesn't love Alfie? But I think if you put Erik Karlsson on a better team, and I always use that term, you put him on those old Detroit teams, puck possession teams, boy, that would have been scary.
Put him on those early 2000s sense.
Very much,
as you,
very
as you
much.
Talked
yeah,
about, right?
Yeah.
Think about that. What would be an interesting question, maybe we'll do it some other day, is we talk about any player that even suited up for the Senators at some point of their career. Maybe not in their best years, but just played for the Sens. Yeah. So Dominik Hasek, here for a short time. Zdeno Chara, we brought up his name as well. That's just two off the top of my head.
Well, the heater.
Right? Danny Heatley. I know your old friend Peter Bondra at the top of his. I think they're. Yeah. I would say they're both at a notch below, in my opinion, those two. When you talk about the greatest players in hockey history who played at least one game for the Ottawa Senators, that would be an interesting debate as well.
No, it really would be. I'm trying to think of any other. Were there any other real high-end rentals? I mean, Bondra had 500 goals, but obviously didn't accomplish much here. Anybody else that really came in? Like, most of the other guys were the Smolinskis of the world, right?
Not putting Smoke on that list.
No.
Good man, though.
No, for sure.
The Smoke. Yeah, all right. So there you go. There's our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Greatest player in Sens history. Of course, Karlsson in town tonight. Karlsson, Alfredsson, Spezza, Hossa. I can tell you right now, it's a runaway lead for Daniel Alfredsson. We already got like close to 500 votes on this. Alfie takes 79%. Karlsson right now at 18%. Not a lot of love for Spez and Hossa at 1% each. On that. So let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. We'll be live from the rink 10 o'clock this morning, and the box will be there 2 o'clock this afternoon. The Drive, our pregame show again, 5 o'clock, and Dean and Gord will have the call tonight. Sens and Sharks right here on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200. All right, welcome back. 7:40 here on this Thursday morning. A Sens game day Thursday again. Sens and Sharks go at it tonight at Canadian Tire Center at 7. Our pregame show will begin on TSN 1200 at 5 o'clock. We got Jamie Baker on board for the first time, and he'll be part of the pre- and post-game shows alongside Lever Sage tonight and post-game with AJ Jakubek. Look forward to hearing from Jamie, who has some terrific insight on the Sharks, of course. Longtime NHL player and broadcaster with the Sharks. Jamie will join us here in the show, actually, next hour as well.
Yeah, and sure, for Bakes, somewhat emotional, JR. Gosh, you live out there for that long and to come back, and interestingly enough, played for both teams. And, yeah, all of a sudden you meet up with San Jose and get a little idea of some of the surprises. And from Sen's side, interesting, outside of Karlsson, Mr. Balcers is on the team. And, of course, Mr. Dahlin, who was part of the Burroughs trade way back when. And I thought it pretty much disappeared back to Timra, never to be seen again.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Let's see here. The Blackhawks, this comes from on text. The Blackhawks are healthy scratching Dylan Strome. Anyway, you guys see general manager Pierre Dorion going for him.
You know what? I mix up all the Stromes, but I kind of just say that they all underachieve, JR. When you're on a stinky team like Chicago and they're healthy scratchy to start the year, I don't think we need more of those issues. And from a Sens perspective, I know it's been put out, and I understand where you'd look at a veteran center possibly right now, JR, but would you agree if you're looking for a center that you're looking for a fourth-line center?
At this point, you know, Chris Tierney's off to a decent start. Looks like he's skating better. Yeah, I would say for sure. You know, with all due respect to Logan Shaw, but he's more of a tweener, and he's more of a good American Hockey League player than a full-time NHL player. I think for sure. I think Chris Tierney right now, and in fact, Pierre Dorion was on the Bob McCown podcast yesterday and was asked, I don't have this specific, I'm paraphrasing what he said, just asked on, are you in the market for a veteran center? And he essentially said no. I think they're pretty happy with Norris Pinto, and at least the way that Chris Tierney has started the year, they're happy with their 1-2-3.
Well, and before last year, I mean, Chris Tierney was never a fourth-line player. He's got 48 points here. Realistically, right now, I mean, the slotting kind of we always get carried away with, but Stutzla, Tierney, and Ben, to me, Formanton is your second line. Pinto is in the three spot, and I don't see any change of that unless you send somebody down. So, to that point, and I guess it relates to Brännström, what they're looking for. I mean, hey, if I'm looking to do anything to help kind of stabilize the team, the obvious would be to try to find a defenseman, but obviously that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, for sure. Just on the Dylan Strome thing, if you like Sim are having a lot of which one is Dylan Strome? He was certainly the one that was drafted the highest. I would say that Ryan has turned into the best player. He's a decent player now for the Rangers. There was some talk in the summer, right? Some rumor that maybe if the Rangers were going to be in on Jack Eichel, they would need to move some salary. And then Ryan Strome was a potential to be moved. And there was some talk potentially of him coming to Ottawa. Dylan Strome was actually the... So Ryan Strome, I think, went fifth overall in the same draft where Zibanejad went to... In fact, he was... drafted one spot ahead of Mika Zibanejad in 2011. So Strome went to the Islanders and Zibanejad to Ottawa. Dylan Strome was actually picked third overall in his draft.
By Arizona?
Yeah, it was McDavid, Eichel, and then Dylan Strome, and then Mitch Marner. Yeah. You think about that swing as well, right? Think about that. Now Mitch Marner, when Toronto took him fourth overall, now that was some inside intel, right? With Mark Hunter made the selection and had him in London. Turns out it's a terrific pick and a great pick. Yeah. But imagine the swing and the fortunes again of a franchise. Arizona swings and misses on Dylan Strome. He does not turn out to have the value of what a third overall should be. Yeah. Think about if they select Mitch Marner instead of where Arizona is. Should be a better. They certainly get a much better player. Yeah. And what does Toronto end up doing? Because they don't have Mitch Marner, who's arguably one of the top wingers in the NHL.
Yeah, and the hubbub out of Toronto at the time, Jared, remember, was that Mike Babcock wanted Noah Hanifin, right, who was playing at Boston College.
Yes, yeah.
So, hey, these, and Tony Marinaro brought it on yesterday, mentioned it yesterday, Jared. Hey, when you say from an Ottawa perspective, you took Brady Tkachuk and now you took Stutzla and Sanderson, think about that. And then think about the Montreal Canadiens forcing Galchenyuk, now Kotkaniemi, and where the heck you're at. Hey, there are some years as well where the draft isn't great, but go back to Heischer and Nolan Patrick. And what was it, Pedersen to Heskinen to Makar were the picks after that? Yeah. Like that. Absolutely. It just alters. Now, as I said, if there's a year where it's not great, but overall, Arizona's drafting has just been absolutely terrible. And let's face facts on even Strome. Mika Zibanejad has now come into his own. And, you know, my question would be, realistically, if you want to win a Stanley Cup, is he your number one guy? I have some debate on that, but I'm not debating that he's not a number one center in the league, and that when you watch him now, he is strong on the puck. He's a great playmaker. And 10 years later, he's one hell of a hockey player.
With rumors out there now that perhaps the Sens would at least listen on offers on Erik Brännström, now playing down in Belleville, and I've kind of put forward the theory that if they are going to trade him, to me, I would think the potential return is going to be some other team's prospect who is also maybe more suspect than prospect, where you're not quite sure that they're an NHL player at this stage, which I think seems like it, you know, by all accounts and based on his usage, he's playing in the minors right now, not in Ottawa. That's the way the Ottawa Senators feel about him. I know some of the fan base don't agree with that, but that's the assessment the Sens have right now that maybe, and listen, Dylan Strome's been moved around now. He's been already traded once, but is he the type of somewhat underachieving prospect? And I'm not saying that one specifically, but is that the type of a trade where you go, okay, you know, you give Brännström a try with your organization, we'll give Strome, and maybe there's some other things involved, some other picks. Maybe Chicago has to throw more in. But I wonder if that's the type of, if the Sens are going to trade Erik Brännström, I wonder if that's the type of trade we're looking at, where it's somebody else's prospect who at least for now hasn't quite turned out. You brought up the name Morgan Frost before with Philly.
Yeah, no. Hey, it could go all ways, JR. And I think it was Graham Nichols brought up yesterday a couple of trades Ottawa's made that end up being smart trades. And, of course, I think he mentioned getting rid of Lazar as far as timing. There was one other. But the one with Lazar is a great trade, but at the same time, that's a whole different dynamic when you're rolling the dice with a draft pick, right, versus taking a body.
Especially a second round. Turned out to be Alex Formanton. Yeah. Looks like it's going to pan out to be a great deal.
It's going to be great, but, you know, let's be realistic. For where Ottawa's at as a franchise and for a lot of the pro players that have come back, if you said to me right now, and I've been part of trades like that where you can have a player now, kind of a prospect or a pick, yeah, I'd probably on Brännström. I would cut my losses, Jared, to be honest with you, and take a pick. The type of Strome, and I don't even know what kind of contract he's on, but when I look at stuff like that, to me, adding to what is just, I don't know. I like Ottawa's top nine right now, and if you can't fit within that top nine, why bother? And it's, as I said, rentals probably don't make much sense up front. You've got enough young players. The question is, do you want to play the long game? And I know, like, I look at LA when they flip Bishop and somehow Tampa got a Chernik guy back. Like, you know, I'd be rolling a bit of the dice here on maybe taking a little bit of the long game on somebody if I'm trading Branstrom? Mm-hmm. And the part of them floating that out, I find kind of funny in 2021 that, you know, you float out that you might listen, but, you know, you're not going to give the player away. Like, it just, I understand. And, but, you know,
every... That was probably sent by fax, Simmer.
Well, exactly.
Because that's apparently the general managers of the NHL are the only people still using fax machines, I believe.
Yeah, but again, for Branstrom, it'll be hard to explain when you look at Ottawa's defense where he's at. And even in the case of Rundblad, as far as timing, guys, I believe was that towards the end of training camp or very early in the season? Because Kyle Turris was at home. But Rundblad at that time, you weren't sure where he was going as a player, right? You're kind of, well, Branstrom's now in year four as a pro. He's now in the minors behind a not very good defense. Hey, maybe there's somebody out there that loves him, JR. But I would honestly, if I'm Ottawa, I'd say, listen, if there isn't something that makes a lot of sense to help our team, which is really difficult, why take on another problem? Why not just reload here and maybe even just take a draft pick?
Let me ask you this question. If Eric Branstrom was on a one-way contract instead of the two-way contract he's on right now, because he's still on his rookie deal. Is he still with Ottawa or not? And is he playing?
Yeah, you know, it's...
I mean, is he in Belleville because of his contract status, in part?
Yeah, it could be. But I also get the feeling that the fact that they traded for Holden was part of, first of all, a real nice move and get rid of Dadonov's money, JR. But when you really went out and gave Delzato that money, there must have been a feeling over the summer that he wasn't good enough, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
Like chasing down a guy like that for his ninth hockey team... For the season or the way he finished playing with Zub last year, you basically at the end of your meetings didn't feel like he was fitting into your plans. Otherwise, why would you do that? Now, in a truest sense, would he be, well, like I said, they probably, if he was on a one-way coming into this year along with Brown, they probably would have never signed Delzato after making the Holden trade, right?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have loaded up with 8 one-way contracts on the back end.
I think what's more than apparent is that DJ Smith is not a fan of Eric Branstrom. I think that has become apparent.
And would you blame him, though?
Yeah. No, listen, Eric Branstrom has, you know, and a lot of fans will argue with it because we're enamored. Well, all of us are enamored as we watch things. We're enamored by guys who have the puck on their stick, right? And playing defense in the National Hockey League, that is a part of it. And getting the puck out of your end is certainly a part of it. And it's become a growing part of it. As well. But there is an important aspect of playing defense in the NHL, which involves when you don't have the puck on your stick. And what can you do when you don't? And that's the part that right now Eric Branstrom struggles with. Yeah. And the evaluation you have to make, if you think this guy who's got some offensive attributes, no doubt about that, can the other part of his game and his physical limitations, can they allow him to reach even an acceptable level as far as the defensive part of playing defense goes?
Yeah.
That's the evaluation you have to make.
Yeah, and two things to it, JR, and I'll go back to Clark MacArthur. Randy Carlyle didn't like him. There are spots where you say to yourself, you know what, it's time to move on. That was a great signing for Ottawa. In this case, I'm not going to put any fault on it. And the issue I have, and again, this is everyone has opinions and everyone's right and I've been wrong. You go through it. I look at Eric Branstrom, JR, and I don't see that people think, you know, with some defensemen, hey, or with any defenseman, any player, get more experience, you're going to be fine. I don't think the long game on him is going to make him a better player, because I don't know how you make up for being 5'9 and not having good defensive feet. I just don't think that another year in the minors or a couple more years a pro is going to change that. And if you don't have that, and the problem I have, I mean, there's so many people out there that lock this guy in as a top four and lock him in. Well, history also tells you, first of all, I don't think the Rundblad comparison is a great one. I don't see him as a full-time player, and I certainly don't see, if you have aspirations of going long in the playoffs, where he's going to fit in, and I don't see him being a Torrey Krug or people have mentioned Kimmo Tiemann and these different guys. These guys were stout defenders, JR. Brian Rafalski, there's just a deficiency there that I think quite simply is going to leave him as a tweener now and a tweener later. And to summarize all this, I would have him here ahead of Delzato, but I can also understand I'm not going to put fault on the coach like, oh, you're holding him back. Hey, this is not what I expected. I expected rolling in was basically Quinn Hughes, and that's not what they got for Mark Stone.
It's interesting to me that the 8 defensemen that ended up toward the end of training camp, Branstrom therefore included at that time, all the talk about Victor Mete and Eric Branstrom, you know, physically being, you know, 5'9", two very, very small defensemen. And right now, and again, early days, we're 3 games into the season. Who are the 2 guys right now that aren't playing on defense for the Ottawa Senators? Our 5'9" Victor Mete is a scratch.
Yeah.
and 5'9" Eric Brandstrom is playing in the minors.
Yeah.
That kind of tells you all you need to know.
Yeah,
that's their evaluation, yeah. And that's the way this coaching staff,
yeah.
That's an important aspect, whether you agree with it or not. And this goes back to, for those that weren't listening, Tony Marinaro was on yesterday. We're talking about all the Habs issues. And I thought he raised a really interesting point. You know, the Habs went a long way in the playoffs last year, in part because they are a team that is built to excel in the playoffs, right? Or at least were last year with the players that they had. We have seen the template has been set by the last five, 6 years at least. You build a Stanley Cup winning defense in the National Hockey League with size, a lot of size. That is there. There is no disputing.
The last
that right
10
now,
years, I think, right? The average is 6-2.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's no arguing that. And the Ottawa Senators right now have two defensemen who don't come nowhere close to that. But back to Tony's point was the Habs struggles to the season is. Let's go back to my point. There are two types of hockey. There's regular season hockey and there's playoff hockey. It's played one way in the regular season. It's played another way in the playoffs. It's officiated one way in the regular season and officiated a different way in the playoffs. And that's why I think if you're playing the long game right now, that's probably why you won't see either of these two guys. If the Sens are a contender 3 years from now, I don't think either of those guys are playing defense for the Ottawa Senators under this current regime.
No, and I'll say in the short term, guys, I think this will play itself out. Mete will be back in the lineup at some point. He got the unluck. Had it been reversed and Delzato had to play the first two against Toronto versus playing in Game 3, the way that game was against Dallas, to me, that would flip, but that's time. And to your point, Jared, what's really an interesting thing, the short track last year, Montreal was 18th place. They got their goaltender back. They hopped in. Well, don't look any further then, and this is where Tampa obviously has the best of all worlds. They can carry some big space eaters on the back end because they can outscore you. Well, how touch and go was St. Louis to make in the playoffs with the big back end? Couldn't score to save their life. They're in last place in January. They barely squeaked in and won a Stanley Cup. Like, it's a real fine line. If I want to carry those big body players on the back end, I better make sure I have enough firepower. Like, think of St. Louis as a great example of that. Very similar to Montreal. You know, hey, I may be a bill for that, but in a 32-team league, 16 are missing now.
All right, thoughts on any of that are always welcome. We'll put it to the questions to Mike Johnson, our TSN Hockey Insider. He'll join us coming up right after 8 o'clock this morning. It's 7:55 right now. Text us. 12-1200, standard messaging rates apply because we're going to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. If you'd like to roll the dice, take the chance, 5'9" or not, on answering 10 questions correctly, you've got a chance to win $1,000. We'll do that when we come back right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
$1,000 minute.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We've got our contestant ready to go, and it's Claude. How are you doing this morning, Claude?
Hey, good. How's it going there?
Excellent. Thank you, Claude. How do you do in the home version of our $1,000 minute?
Pretty good. I used to really like calling the 61-second shootout. I was really good at that.
You're good at that. Okay, this is a slightly different kettle of fish, but along the same line. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give it a try here, Claude. Here's the way the contest works. I got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds. If you go 10 for 10, we're going to give you $1,000 in cash. That sound good?
Sounds good. Any Gloucester Rangers trivia in there, Simmer?
Simmer?
Gloucester Rangers trivia? Well, we could start it off with that right off the bat. The greatest Gloucester Rangers.
That'll be the bonus question, Claude, if you go 10 for 10. All right, we'll give you $10 per correct answer. Here are the rules. I need all of your answers by the 60-second buzzer. I need to accept your first full and complete answer. And if you want to, you can pass on a question. If there's time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, Claude, we wish you the best of luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. How many NBA championships have the Raptors won?
One.
Who coached the 67s to their two Memorial Cup championships?
Ryan Kilray.
Name an MLB team that Carlton Fisk played for.
Brewers.
What city did the original Cleveland Browns move to in 1996?
Baltimore.
Denver Broncos had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks lead them to Super Bowls. Name both.
John Elway and Manning.
True or false, goalie Mike Smith once played for the Sens.
True.
Who beat the Sharks in 2016 in their only trip to the Cup Final?
Pass.
The Ottawa Titans is a new sports team. What sport do they play?
Ball.
Who won the NBA title last year?
Milwaukee.
True or false, Connor McDavid has scored 50 goals in a season.
True.
Who beat the Sharks in 2016 in their only trip to the Stanley Cup Final?
Vegas.
Okay, he got an answer. I think it started as the buzzer was ending, so we'll allow that. Okay, Claude, let's review, see how you did. The Raptors have won one championship. You got that one right. Brian Kilray coached the 67s, their two Memorial Cup wins. You got that one. By the way, happy birthday to Killer. 87 years old today. Name a team that Carlton Fisk played for. You said the Brewers. Is that right? Claude, you said the Brewers?
No, Boston.
Okay, all right.
No, he said Milwaukee.
No, you said
the
Brewers.
Claude, you can't change your...
I know.
I always think I'm in those terrible White Sox uniforms.
Yes, Boston and Chicago were the correct answers. So you got that one wrong.
Okay.
Nice try, Claude. Now, you see, Claude, that makes me not a fan of you when you you fib. Don't do that. All right, let's see. Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore. You got that one right. You got Elway and Manning as the Bronco quarterbacks. Yes. Mike Smith has not played for the Ottawa Senators. That one was wrong. Sharks lost to Pittsburgh in the final. Titans play baseball. You got that one right. Milwaukee won the NBA title. Yes, Connor McDavid has not scored 50 goals in a season. You got that one wrong. What do we have for Claude with his correct answers?
With his correct answers that he's not fibbing about $60.
How's that sound, Claude?
Right on.
All right. Congratulations. Enjoy the money. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. There he goes. It's a little past 8 o'clock. We'll take a break, get you the latest news and sports, and come back, and we'll talk hockey with TSN hockey insider Mike Johnson coming up next on this Sens game day. Thursday morning, it's the Sens and Sharks right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.